got a vast amount of knowledge from like the 88 to 92 era. That's all me, man.
Well, you know, that was the best era. Not to take anything away from what these guys are doing these days, which is just incredible.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about a time of just innovation and newness, and yeah, it was a crazy time.
It was a great dude. I can't explain it. It was almost like the 70s with music. You know how disco and hip hop really took off at that time, and rock music was deep at that point. So there was just a lot of different stuff going on, man. And I enjoyed that era a lot more. You know, I've been through almost every one until about 10 years ago when I picked up Chef thing. But yeah, man, that era just means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to everybody else.
Definitely. Well, first off, I just want to say, dude, I'm a big fan of your skateboarding, like your trick selection, your stees, you know, all the companies, man.
Thank you, man. That really means a lot. I mean, we grew up watching you guys in the GNS videos, and man, we wouldn't be here without a lot of you guys, you know. And I think I was telling someone this the other day. It's very important for me to catalog, you know, and also give credit to a lot of guys from that era, because a lot of those guys are around, and I don't know if they know this. It means a lot to me, because that's when skateboarding wasn't a lot of money in it. It was just strictly for the love of skateboarding. Like there was no, you know, like it was just a different time, and it's kind of hard to explain to people that weren't there, but all the guys that stuck around that early 90s and, you know, like, that means a lot to me, man, because they didn't go away when skateboarding didn't have a lot of money, and like they couldn't do the tricks, and that wasn't it. They stuck around, and if it wasn't for them sticking around, there wouldn't be guys like myself, and I know a lot of other guys, man. So that's why I think it's very important to give everyone from that era their props. Having you guys in the magazines and all the videos, and you know, like, that's what got us through it, man. That's, I mean, people, everyone remembers the GNS videos. Like, you know, like, I feel crazy. I'm like, you guys remember that? Everyone remembers it, you know, and it's great to bring that stuff up, man. And, you know, to be able to talk to you guys, it means a lot to me, man. So thank you very much for coming on the show. This is incredible.
Hey, man, it's an honor. And if this is actually my very first podcast, so like, my timelines might be a bit skewed, but I will do my best to give you like the proper facts.
No, you're absolutely fine, man. And like I said, it's good to talk to you. And that's a long time to remember stuff too. You know what I mean? Like, if you got a lot of other stuff going on, unlike a lot of people.
And I do feel like, and I think I might've mentioned this when we were messaging each other on IG, like, I feel like I was a flash in the pan in skateboarding history. So if people do remember me, I almost feel like it's like kind of like you're playing a skate trivia game, like useless wooden skate knowledge or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So if any of you guys are listening to this and you never heard of me, I don't blame you.
No, this is what the thing that's beautiful to me about doing this is like, is seeing how stoked everyone gets from that era, number one. And number two, it's I think you guys are a lot more, you know, it's like, I personally think you're a lot more important than a flash in the pan or anything like that, you say, because your presence meant a lot to myself and a lot of other guys that watched it. And also, this is what's very important to me, June, is when we were young, we didn't have guys like this. We didn't have guys like going back to the older guys, talking to them, interviewing them. And, you know, it's a lot of history and a lot of knowledge that these guys can gain. And, you know, that's why I say, man, this is awesome that you do this. And, you know, this is my thing to give back to skateboarding, because I didn't have it when I grew up. I didn't have the older heads like, yo, man, check out the dudes at this time. And I mean, only time you hear about them dudes now is Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and it's really dope that you're highlighting, you know, the people that kind of set the way, you know, and I think that's dope, man. That's giving back to skateboarding, and And it's appreciated, man. It's appreciated.
I mean, shit, I could be out here wearing weird green suits like modeling for Pharrell.
Right? It's WCRP.
Oh, man. So anyways, man, so let's get a start. Let's start off where you at. You're in San Diego. Did you grow up in San Diego?
I grew up in San Diego, yeah. So I grew up in the South Bay, so like southern San Diego, this area called Chula Vista. Okay. We're like a stone's throw away from Tijuana. But yeah, I grew up with some people you might have heard of. Jason Carney was like the local legendary hero, which became my best friend till this day. And crossing paths with like Willie Santos as well. But yeah, it's all started in the South Bay. Grew up skateboarding this high school parking lot called Bonita High, and I'm sure you've seen it in all the H Street videos, Planet Earth videos. It's a double-sided yellow curb with some like retaining walls that people were kind of doing some shit off the walls and over the walls, but very, very iconic spot in the 90s. Like if you watch any old H Street video that has a yellow curb, like that's where I spent my 10,000 hours and more probably was that fucking curve. Like,
you know, I've always wanted to ask you this, like who was one of your first sponsors? Did you have a shop sponsor or anything like that?
Yeah. So my first sponsor was our local shop. It was called Evening Glass. You know, it was your typical surf shop, mainly surf shop, but they carried skateboard goods too. And then they kind of went through like an ownership split and then they turned into South Bay Surf and Skate. But yeah, that was really my first, like, I guess, shop sponsor. And then you're going to trip out on this because I've heard many people speak to this already, but Stedham was like my first real sponsor.
What?
Back in the day. Yeah. I was also one of those dudes that worked for Stedham, man.
What? Dude, Stedham had an army of guys. He was on the show, and like it took him a little while to come out, you know, because I don't know him. He's a little older, and I caught him in the morning. It was a recipe for a bad podcast. He was very vocal about what he said will always kind of resonate with me because he was like, man, mm-hmm. I had all these really good guys on the team, but just I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't know. He was like, this is what he said verbatim. He's like, I had that one guy, like, what's his name? I think he's like, Darren or something. I was like, Daywan? He's like, yeah, him. I'm like, dude.
I don't know if Daywan actually rode for Stedham, but
really?
He might have been confusing him with maybe a couple of other different Asians that were on the team. I don't know.
Maybe but he meant Donger.
I don't
Donger.
Remember Daywan being. Yeah, I think Donger was there for a minute for sure.
Okay.
Donger, J-Rodder, shit, even Jason Carney. Jason Carney was in there for a minute too. Shit, who else?
This is blowing my mind right now.
Canton Russell and Oscar Jordan. There's probably more than I'm forgetting, but I mean, that's a lot of fucking people in San Diego that kind of have history, you know, in the skateboarding world. So it's pretty amazing, like, how many people were under his wing. But like you said, he didn't know what to do with us, man. He it was so hard. To get a board was just like a mission, dude. And then when you finally got a hold of him, he might give you one or two boards, and literally he's counting stickers like one, two, three, four. Like he's rationing these fucking stickers, right? And like it's, but we're kids, dude. We're just hype, right? We're just getting, it's our first sponsor, you know. So,
and it's funny Steve
as
Stedham?
It was, it meant a lot to us back then.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, I've always said this to like a lot of guys, and Stedham falls into this category because you see it a lot now. Is owning a company and also, you know, like not only riding for them, but owning a company is one whole different thing. You know, like going from being a superstar skateboarder to owning a skateboard company, because you can't differentiate the two. You're not going to be like, all right, well, I just want to own a company. You're going to be like, shit, I'm on the team too.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of hard. It's hard to run a company. You know, I've always said that, you know, there has not been very many successful skateboard companies where the owner is also on the team too, because it's kind of a conflict of interest, you know, and Stedham, I think, was the first one that I really noticed that with, because he tried to break off and do his own thing. And you know what I mean? And obviously it's very difficult, you know, like it ain't going to go like pow. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, so I he's probably, man, I'm going to sell some boards. And this is like, yo, you got to be in here every day and deal with the team. And I thought it was awesome, man, that he had an actual company back then. You know, I don't remember a lot of guys breaking off and from superstar companies starting their own thing.
Yeah. Especially think about it, like way back then, being a person of color and trying to do his own thing. And I think when he first started, he had that old brand Sure Grip International. I think they were backing him there for a minute, and then I think he was kind of doing it on his own after that. So, I mean, hats off to him, because like you said, back then there was no money in the game, and I think he was still doing music too on the side. He had like a ska band he was run into, and so I mean, hats off to him. I mean,
yeah.
As funny as the Stedham stories are, like it really, I appreciated him supporting, you know, me for that short time.
And it was
such a memorable experience too.
And I'll repeat this one more time, dude. For a lot of those guys, we were their guinea pigs. I've said this numerous times. Like a lot of those guys that were trying to start business, we just unfortunately were their guinea pigs. And you know, a lot of us don't. Talking about it's one thing, but I don't hold anything against my old sponsors either. But looking back, it's like
it's WCRP.
Thinking back on a lot of that stuff, it's really, really funny. And going back to color skaters, this is great you said that. There weren't like, you know, back when you were coming out, there was like, you because you were out before Willie, correct? Are you, well,
no, Willie kind of set it off before me. So he was, okay. You kind of started seeing him in that first GNS video called Footage.
Yes.
And that was when Rob and Dwayne and all those dudes were still a part of it. It was, you know, that was before the exile to Alien Workshop.
Okay.
I joined the brand right after those dudes left to go to Alien Workshop. Like I was talking to them towards the end of, I guess they had already just finished filming Footage. And I was like putting together a sponsor me tape for Willie. And I think not long after me submitting my tape, those dudes had bounced to Alien.
That's dope. So Willie hooked you up?
He did, man. He did. He was definitely like a key part in that. He was, you know, we used to call him melancholy grabs, like he'd ollie into him and just point him down. And he had a rat tail and a flat top. And like, you know what I mean? He was killing it though. And I was just like, man, who is this guy? So that was kind of my first introduction to him. And then I ran into him at School W. And that's when we really got to talking, and we connected right away, you know, just being both Filipino. I think he recognized that, and we kind of hit it off right away and exchanged numbers, and we just started skating together. And that's really how it came about. You know, it wasn't like, hey, will you sponsor or can you get me hooked up? It was just, I was skating with him a lot, and then it just kind of happened organically.
That's really dope, dude. Like seriously, because there weren't that many guys, like, you know, even before him, like, there weren't a lot of, you know, besides Electric Asai, you know, but AM-wise, there wasn't a lot of guys that were like, you know, Asian, of Asian descent.
No.
There really weren't. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it was pretty rare.
I mean, it was the only guy I remember was Kyung Kim. That is the only guy that sticks out in my, you know what I mean? Well, I'm just like.
That's so sick you bring Kyung up, because I skate with him once a week.
Wow.
He's still getting after it, man. Like. He's had some injuries that kind of set him back since back in the day, but we have this crew that we gather up like every Sunday, and we hit up curb spots, you know, like kind of low impact type skateboarding. But you're right, he definitely was killing it back then, man, and doing some sick shit. And repping Toxic, man. How about that brand?
Exactly. Dude. That's what I always remember. I was like, I always remember opening. I think it was like old Power Edge, and like, dude, like, who is this guy? You know, because I was skating with a lot of Filipino guys back then, in Jacksonville. Like all of my friends, all my friends were literally like minorities. It was insane. I don't know how this happened, but it was like late '80s, and all. I was like, wow. was really cool. And I remember my friends being really psyched on that guy. And I was like, who? Looked in the magazine. I was like, Toxic? And I was like, man, that's a crazy one. But I always thought he stuck out, you know, because I was, yeah. I don't remember seeing a lot of guys like him back then. Like, you know, besides, like I said, Adrian Demain and, you know, the guys that were already pro, you know, Lester Kasai and those kind of guys. But I don't remember seeing, like, you know, street skating kind of took its thing and that shit took over quickly, dude. Like,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever used to skate any ramps, any backyard ramps or vert or anything like that, or did you go straight street?
Oh man, I was so transition challenge, and I think till this day I still am a little bit. But we had our fair share of kind of like, kind of random ramps that people that I knew built in canyons that didn't really last that long. There weren't any skate parks really around back then. There was Linda Vista, but I didn't find myself in that area too often, you know, okay. except for like contests and stuff.
Okay.
So I didn't really actually start learning to skate transition until I started kind of doing skate tours, because they weren't around. That often. And, you know, just back in the early 90s, there were a couple of dudes that I knew that had some ramps in their backyard, but you know, those dudes with ramps in their backyard, they're kind of like
assholes.
You know, they're very particular about when you're going to come over and, you know, yeah, they're assholes.
It's WCRP.
You ain't one of their rich friends. And man, I grew up skating in mid 80s. So that was like when vert ramps were around. And trust me, I was not allowed to go to a lot of ramps. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't very invited, you know. So luckily street skating came around, because I really feel like that opened the doors for a lot of us, you know, a lot of minorities to skateboard, because you didn't have to have the money. You didn't have to have the pads. You didn't have to have, you know, everything that didn't make you not cool. You know, because there's a lot of gatekeeping. No. There was a lot of gatekeeping in skateboarding in the mid 80s and with the ramps and stuff like that. You know, you had to know the right people, wear the right gear. And, you know, a lot of us couldn't afford that, man. Like my mom, I couldn't afford that kind of stuff. So it was great to be around people that just accepted you for who you were. And, you know, you just were able to skate at any time. You didn't have to wait for someone's parents. And yeah, I think that was a blessing, that the time that we all came into skateboarding. Dude, you know who was Tom at GNS when you were there?
yeah, Tom Drake.
Tom Drake. Yes. Dude, that's insane.
So he was the second team manager at Caparo, really, really short lived clothing brand called GTO. And then Tom Drake took over. So yeah, I definitely was under Tom's wing. So when we were filming for Stun, Tom was like kind of mainly doing the managing back then. You know what? He might have actually taken over. He might have been doing it before Stun. So there was a video before Stun called Winona Ryder. And that was when Mark like just first got on, Shannon May too.
Yes.
And then the original Mikey Taylor from Arizona.
Exactly. Yes. I'm glad you said that.
And you know what's crazy is I actually had filmed an entire part for, well, not an entire part, but I filmed the part for Winona Riders, and they cut me out of the video for whatever reason. I don't know if it was like time constraints. I don't typically talk highly of myself, but I feel like I had some pretty sick ass tricks that we had filmed, and they left me out of it. And I remember getting the call, and I was bummed, dude. Like I definitely cried, for sure. I definitely cried.
Wow. That's I'm sorry.
but then I'm watching the video, right? And they have fucking Gator running around a fucking Circle K for like 45 seconds to a minute. And I'm like, well, you put this fucking future murderer in your fucking video, and you can't have like 5 or 6 clips of me? Like, I was mad salty, dude.
You know something crazy about that video? I just found out, and I'm putting out Markovich's episode this weekend. I was going to do it on Go Skate Day, but it's like it's a pretty heavy episode, man. Yeah, I just got to be honest.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine, man.
It is. I mean, we talk about skating, but we go into like childhood trauma. And one really important thing that kind of stuck out with me, and I did not know this, is that Gator filmed most of Winona Ryder.
He was around for a lot of it.
He filmed a lot of that video. Like, he... He literally filmed a huge portion of that video. Like, I think Gator filmed most of Markovich's part. And, dude, he filmed most of that video. Yeah. And that was right around the time. Go ahead.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Because we were skating. We were all skating Primo's ramp. And this was like maybe a week or 2 weeks before he turned himself in. And, but yeah, it was like me and Willie and Markovich, like all that stuff, skating Primo's ramp. And I don't know if you remember Primo's ramp. It was like kind of shaped like an H. It had a hip, had like an over kind of, not an oververt section, but it had a real high wall. I think Reeves and Sal skate it. They're kind of the first time you're seeing like nose blunts on mini ramps. Like,
yes.
It was all filmed. That was Primo's ramp. But I remember Markovich was there with Gator, and Gator was kind of bizarre. Like, he was kind of like on a God kind of ranting thing. And I don't have anything against religion by any means, but it was just odd, because it was like, dude, I grew up watching this dude in the 80s and he's here, and he's like almost like he's like a pastor or something. But, you know, maybe it's a little foreshadowing, because, you know, 2 weeks later he turns himself in. It could have been 1 week. It was a short turnaround time from me seeing him and then him turning himself in. So it was a real trip.
I have nothing against religious people. And a lot of people don't know this. My parents are pastors. My grandmother was a pastor. My brother's a pastor. You know, so I grew up, you know, Southern Baptist for the most part. But one thing is, you know, a lot of people don't know that, because my parents have never, you know, none of my grandparents. I mean, my entire family pretty much is church oriented. They're either part of a church or have a church. Yeah, man, it's pretty deep in my family. My family's really cool, though. They have never pushed it on me. So a lot of people that go really hard with religion, I always side-eyed them, you know, because I've grown up like that, and my parents have never pushed it on me. You know, they're just happy if I go to church. And nine times out of ten, the person that's going hard with it ends up doing some wild shit. Like, look at Lenny Kirk. Lenny Kirk is a perfect example of that, you know. And it's like, and Gator too, man. And so I've always been kind of shaky about, you know, people that go really hard. And that should have been kind of a sign.
It's WCRP.
You guys were cranking out videos back then. Like, within a 2 year period, you had, what, three videos?
Yeah, so I think, so there was footage.
Yes.
And that was, you know, that was with all the alien dudes before they left. And then there was Winona Ryder. And then Stun came out like right after that, because right after Winona stopped filming, we started filming for Stun. And there was like a short period where I was going to bounce. It was after I got left out of Winona, I was going to bounce to the H Street camp.
What?
At the time, I was hanging out, you know, I skated with Jason Carney a lot, and I was there for a lot of the filming of a lot of those videos, right? So I was with Mike T a lot, and there was a point where he had offered me, he's like, dude, you can ride for Life, you could ride for Planet Earth, you could ride for H Street.
Wow.
Take your pick. You know, he basically laid it out to me, and this was when we were filming for Stun, right? So I don't know if you remember, but if you watch some of those old H Street videos and even the Planet Earth video, I have some clips in those videos, right? So that was like Mike T like trying to juice me, right? Like, he was all about like juicing you, right? Like, just he had a way of like getting the best out of you. So you'll see me in like, there's the new H Street videos, like those kind of the trade show video. There's like a trade show loop. And then even in Planet Earth Now and Later, I've got like some curb tricks in the opening montage. And then I think I got a couple at the end too. So that was right around the same time I was filming Stun. So it was really funny, because then I was telling Willie, I was like, dude, I think I'm going to bounce. And then he spoke to the people at GNS, and then all of a sudden I was like, I was treated like royalty all of a sudden. Because I felt like I was like just this flow dude, right? Because like, oh, they didn't put me in the video. Like, fuck, man. I know HE has a shit ton of people, but at least I know I'll get taken care of, you know? And so that was kind of like around that time. So when they were filming, like, even Soldier Story too, like I remember riding in Mike T's van and he was telling me about the opening song for Sheffy's video, right? For his part, you know, the wow, whole Western dude. Music and showing all the spots, like the precursor, like the picnic table, the street gap. And he was telling me all about that before it even happened. So I remember it like yesterday. It was so insane. Like, and being able to skate with Chef back then was insane. Like, he skated faster than I've ever seen anybody skate. It's insane. Like, I was like, fuck, dude, he skated so fast.
He skated like a grown man, and we were kids, yeah. Dude. We were like, what the? He's jumping on tables. We were like, whoa, dude, that's a little too much, you know? And I think, you know, even guys like Mike T, I'd like to go back to Mike T right now, man. Skateboarding has just missed a guy like that. You know, I didn't know him personally, but what I'm saying when I say that is skateboarding is missing a guy like that, like an actual team manager that has your best interest in mind. That's it. He doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to do interviews. He just has your best interest in mind. He doesn't care about people seeing him, and skateboarding is missed that, you know? And I think that's what, from my personal opinion, I think that's what creates teams and creates great skateboarders, is having someone to truly believe in you that's selfless, you know? And, you know, in the early 90s, we had some guys flash in the pan, but I really feel like Tarnowski was that last guy that was just like, he was a selfless helper in that. And, you know, to have all of those talented people around him too, it wasn't about him. It was not about him. And that's, you know, even to hear your story, man, that's that kind of shit touches me. Seriously, just knowing that he was trying to help you out, man. Like, do you regret not taking that now?
you know what, Clive? I think that there's a couple of forks in the road in my career that I feel like I definitely missed some opportunities.
Okay.
And that could have been one of them. There was another time where I was offered to ride for Planet Earth again, like a second time through Chris Miller. And this was, okay, so after GNS, there was a short-lived company that was started by Ken Park. I don't know if you remember Ken Park.
Oh, absolutely. 90, Vision Ken Park, yes.
80s Vision, yeah. He started a company called One More Skate Company. And also, he also did a clothing brand called Fat Clown, spelled with a PH, right? Fat Clown. And he was running this out of Colorado. So he had reached out to me and Jason as well, and asked us to be a part of this brand. So we started riding for him. And I was in line to get a board, but then he went through like a gnarly divorce. And this was during, we went on tour, right? We went like a 32 day, 20, not like that, like no breaks. And we're talking from Colorado all the way out to New York. And during that time, he went through a gnarly divorce. So basically, the company had folded. And, you know, he had already put out an ad in Transworld that I was going pro. So I was kind of in this limbo where it was like, I was pro, but I hadn't got paid and I didn't have a board. And I remember Jason telling Chris Miller, like, hey, you know, June and I are a package deal. Like, and this was when he got on Planet Earth. So this was right before Jason got on Planet Earth. But they weren't planning on turning me pro. So that is definitely a regret that I have. Like, I should have just rode for Planet Earth and then just, you know, just earned my way into a pro model, right? But in my head, I'm just like, nah, that's going to suit me. So, so I feel like I really blew it there, man.
It's WCRP.
feel like at that point it was like I was having a hard time finding like an elite sponsor, right? Because I think at that point I rode for Other Level, which was done out of Select Distribution, Brad Dorfman.
Okay.
And at the time, just to give you a timeline, they were doing Blue out of there.
Okay.
At the same time. Yeah. And TV. So it was around that time.
Dude, I was just talking to Dune about Blue not long ago, and he was telling me. Yeah. But because you know, I think it's really cool is Brad, at least Brad tried to stick with it. I think that's really awesome that Brad Dorfman, you know, he just didn't walk away. He wasn't going to take a losing battle like that.
He was trying to reinvent the company, trying to do brands. You know, because, yeah, you know, that happened to a lot of those 80s brands, right? Like Vision. I mean, Santa Cruz, for a hot minute, they were kind of part of that. But obviously, they're amazing again. They're an amazing brand again.
But a lot
of those 80s companies, right? Even Gullwing, right? They were like on fire at a moment. And then all of a sudden, they weren't cool anymore. So it is really rad. It is really rad that Brad was trying to reinvent, you know, things and trying to do them differently under different names.